The following podcast is a presentation of Small Biz America.
Small Biz America.
The Brain.
Our guest on this segment of the Small Biz Brain is an expert when it comes to how to manage and avoid financial problems around nonprofits. In his latest book, The Zone of Insolvency, How Nonprofits Avoid Hidden Liabilities and Build Financial Strength, he reveals that as many as one-third of the nation's 1.4 million nonprofits are operating at a level of financial distress, which will force many of them to file for dissolution. Ron Maddox is passionate about building financially sustainable nonprofit organizations. His lifetime of service in the nonprofit arena has focused on all aspects of business development, marketing, fundraising, and expense management. With 30 years' experience in service in the nonprofit arena, he's the founder of Maddox & Associates, a consulting firm focused on helping financially distressed nonprofits. Joining us from Fairfax, Virginia, is the author of Zone of Insolvency. Good morning, Ron Maddox. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Dave. Good to be with you.
In your years as a business expert and a consultant and so forth around this subject, how have the challenges that face nonprofit organizations changed over those years, if at all?
Well, I think there's been a growing trend. The nonprofit culture has kind of tolerated this financially fragile state for many organizations, but it's just been compounding over the years.
Yeah.
And the present economy doesn't help that one bit.
So it's the same stuff, just getting a little bit worse from your vantage point.
I think so. I think you've got many organizations that are aging. The market's maturing. We've seen a buildup of nonprofits. We have nonprofit organizations incorporating at twice the rate of for-profits over the last 25 years.
Really?
And they're not filing for dissolution on the back end as quickly, so there's been quite a build-up, and I think that whole industry is maturing and kind of in the process of sorting itself out.
How do you define the zone of insolvency? What exactly is that?
The term came out of a court case in 1992, and the courts said that prior to that time, everybody thought an organization was either solvent or insolvent, and you know, you looked at the balance sheet, and it was pretty obvious. The courts said that's way too simplistic. And there's actually a zone or a period of financial distress where you're not technically insolvent, but you're in definite financial distress.
Mm-hmm.
And the court said that it's very important to recognize that zone and that the board governing an organization financial distress actually has legally expanded responsibilities and liabilities when governing in that zone.
Yeah. When you first go in to approach a nonprofit to consult with them, they're in distress, they're trying to sort things out, where do you start?
I like to start with the management team and collect the data, but quickly tie that to the board because typically it's a combination of skills and decisions made at the management team and decisions and policies at the board level. And unless you bring all that together, you're not likely to turn an organization around.
Yeah, I was going to ask how the dynamics of the board of directors and management, and I'm sure they're each very unique to their own cultures, inform your approach to all of this.
Yeah, and it's interesting because so often you have great business people who are running for-profit businesses sitting on nonprofit boards.
Right.
And the rules are a little bit different. The laws are a little bit different. Accounting principles are a little bit different.
Yeah.
And they end up as a group tolerating behavior on the nonprofit board that they wouldn't tolerate on the for-profit side.
At the end of the day, you really are running a business. don't let this non-for-profit designation fool you. Is that your assessment?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Peter Drucker wrote an awful lot about this over the years and actually says that it's a bigger management challenge to manage a nonprofit than a for-profit.
Yeah, but many of the same sound principles apply. Everything from marketing to managing cash flow, it's all the same stuff, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and what you typically have is somebody who's very, very passionate about the mission who's in charge or running it. And if that mission passion is so strong that there's no business discipline coupled with that, then that's where an organization gets into.
Yeah, it's a real balancing act for the executive director, I'm sure. And then I'm imagining most boards probably are more in tune with the mission, although you pointed out that they're typically business people. So I guess the balance changes with each situation, doesn't it?
Well, it's interesting because they're business people, but the board that the nonprofit board that they choose to serve on usually has something to do with what they're personally passionate about. And so you get that, you know, the plus side is you get that combination of passion and business skill if they can figure out how to use the business skill in the nonprofit culture. But often they feel like they're almost asked not to use that business skill.
To sidestep it. Yeah. We're visiting with Ron Maddox. He's the author of Zone of Insolvency. Zone of Insolvency is the book, the website www.ronmaddox.com. And you've also got a blog going. That's Ron Maddox, that's MATTOCKS.com/blog. And it'll be included in this post on Small Biz America. Okay, in your book, you've included some simple action plans to help distressed nonprofits or prevent them from going into distress. Would it be useful to walk through a couple of these and just get a preview of what's inside the book?
Well, we could do that. The first half of the book really is 10 chapters, 10 different case studies of 10 different organizations and how they got into financial distress.
Ah.
And the point is, it's all sizes of organizations, all kinds of organizations, and all kinds of ways of getting into distress. I mean, sometimes it's bad actors and nefarious acts. Sometimes it's just a business decision that was well-informed and well-intentioned, didn't work out the way people expected it to. Sometimes the market changed, and after 30, 40, 50 years of great service to the public, you know, an organization finds out that that market has changed. There's not a need like there used to be, or there's not a funding source like there used to be, and it's suddenly in financial distress.
Subject to change. Do you have a turnaround story that you could point out, a case study that might be useful?
Everybody starts at a different point and ends in a different point at that.
Yeah.
There's a case that comes to mind. It was a youth camp, about a $10 million operation out west, and does a tremendous amount of work, beautiful facility, site that looks like it's national parkland kind of thing. 60 years old, and the site was poorly maintained, which often happens with facilities like that, so a lot of deferred maintenance, a lot of unfunded depreciation. And the problem was that all of a sudden the infrastructure collapsed, so the water system, the sewer system, the electrical system, all the underground systems.
Yikes.
Went at once. And they literally had to close the facility down, go out and borrow a couple $1 million, bring in 15 contractors simultaneously.
Yeah.
Dig it all up and rebuild it. And it was a race against the clock because they were losing revenue every day that the facility was closed. And so in 6 weeks, they turned it around. It really speaks to the issues of unfunded depreciation because the day before this all happened, the liability was really there. I mean, the problem was there.
Right.
But it wasn't on the books. It wasn't on the balance sheet. The day after it happened, the same problem was there. They were on their way to fixing it. And they had a $2 million loan, which was immediately put on the books. So
yeah.
You know, it was recognized as a liability the day after, but not the day before.
Interesting.
And I think it gets right to what is governance and management all about, because you get a false sense of security if you allow an organization to go on year after year after year deferring maintenance and not funding depreciation, and yet those liabilities are going to come back and bite you at some point in the future. Moving forward, you have to then pay off that loan, and to avoid the same thing happening again, you ought to begin funding your depreciation and your maintenance appropriately, realistically. And so to do that, you pretty much have to go from where you were to paying double.
That's
every
right.
Month,
that's
moving
right.
Forward.
It's quite a shock to cash
it
flow.
It is quite a shock. Yeah. And a lot of organizations find themselves right there.
Wow. Now, when it comes to working with boards and sort of creating policies around these, and you may have already answered the question, but I understand that within the book, you've got some sample board policies that cover the key areas that all boards should have a clearly written policy on, really articulated. Conflict of interest comes up, review of grants and proposals, borrowing. You've hit on maybe some of this, but anything else to highlight there?
Well, I like to go into an organization and just ask the question, can I see your board policy manual? And usually I see a lot of red faces and find that there really is not a board policy manual,
right.
Which is what I expect when I ask the question.
Yeah.
So sometimes you'll see that a board has created policies, but they're embedded in the minutes of meetings over a period of years. So you
sure.
have to go back and read 5 or 10 years worth of board meeting minutes
yeah.
to pull all that together. Often they haven't really thought about their role in creating policies, and they dabble in administrative detail and all kinds of trivia and scheduling and budgeting, but they really haven't focused on what are the policy issues. And so when push comes to shove, they realize when it's too late that there wasn't a policy that required a, you name it, you know, that required a board-restricted operating reserve fund or a compensation strategy, or you can go through a whole list of things that really need those policies.
Mm.
The lack of those often contributes to this kind of softness and lack of business discipline, which leads to the financial distress.
Fascinating work. Ron, and currently, I know you've just finished the book. What else? What other activities should we know about that you're involved with? And
well, all my consulting is really focusing on this topic. I'm not in the business of trying to put organizations out of business. I really want to see them turn around and succeed.
Sure.
If an organization is doing well right now, we want them to do even better, be fiscally solvent and strong for the future so they can continue to serve that mission. So we want to help them avoid the zone of insolvency. If they are in financial distress, we want to help them work out of the zone of insolvency. And we do that by engaging the board, getting the board to say, hey, we have a problem. There's a name for it. The name is the zone of insolvency. There are 500,000 other nonprofits that have been through this. There are common symptoms, common solutions, and we can do something about this.
Terrific. Ron, thanks for joining us. The book is Zone of Insolvency, How Nonprofits Avoid Hidden Liabilities and Build Financial Strength. The website, www.ronmattocks.com. Ron, thanks again for joining us on the Small Biz Brain.
Thank you, Tim.
Small Biz America.
The Brain.
This podcast is produced by Small Biz America. If you'd like to find out about hosting your own podcast, visit us at smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz America.